Boker Tov, and welcome to the beginning and sheer before the end of the second parak of Moed Katan, an extremely short parak, which we will be covering today and tomorrow. The first Mishnah deals with melacha that is permissible on Chol HaMoed to one extent or another because of an onus, because of an inadvertent circumstance that happened that caused the melacha to be delayed until then. Mi shafachat zeitav, somebody who has taken his olives and already turned them over, preparing them for being pressed for oil. They're o eva avel o ones. And then he was suddenly taken by avelut, which means that after a moment before he was able to press them. And the problem is, once you've turned them over, if you don't press them right away, then they're lost. And suddenly became an avel, a mourner, or ones, or some other inadvertent cause that prevented it from working, oshitu po'alim, or that his workers fooled him. In other words, his workers said they'd show up 3 days before Yontif, they never showed up, and here he is on Chol HaMoed, and these olives are going to go bad. To'en korah rishona, now it's Chol HaMoed, he's able to put down the first board to start pressing them, and he leaves it there until after Chol HaMoed, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says that this is malacha that's permissible because of Davar HaAved. You're only allowed to do it in an unusual fashion, which is to put the first board down. Rabbi Yossi Omer Zolef V'gomer V'gaf Kedarko. Rabbi Yossi says, you pour it out, you pour it into the barrel, you seal the barrel, just as normal. We've already seen this, that Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that davar shemutar mipnei davar ha'aved, something that's mutar to do because it's going to be lost, can be done in the normal fashion. Good. Now notice the circumstance. The guy was, let's say, 5 days before Yontif, was involved in his work, and then suddenly one of his relatives died, and because of avelut he couldn't continue, and then now it's Chol HaMoed, he's no longer an avel, and now we allow him to do one part, complete, whatever. Now, patach be'evel v'siyem b'moed. Notice that the Mishnah began with avelut and then ended with moed. What does that teach you? The way he reads the Mishnah is that the avelut happened the way I just described. It happened during the week before Chol HaMoed, before the Yontif, and because of the avelut, he was not allowed to do this work, which means that the restriction on malacha, which we will see in greater detail in the third parak next week, for a mourner is more severe than during Chol HaMoed, because he was not allowed to do it as an avel, but now during Chol HaMoed is allowed to. That's Rav Shesha Bered Ravidi. Rav Ashi Amar Lomi Bayakamar. Rav Ashi says, no, that it's not talking about a circumstance where we have Avelut and then Moed, but it's rather talking about parallel circumstances. That's called Vachomer. Lomi Bayakamar Lomi Durabonanhu. Certainly, when you're an Avel, where there are all of the Surim are Durabonan, certainly the Shari, you're allowed to do whatever it is that the Tanaim allow, putting it on the first board or doing everything. Halafilu Moed. Right, and this, of course, we said in the opening shir of Masechet Moed Katan, is subject to some dispute as to how to read it, but the Isur Malacha, corner of Ashi, is the Oraita. The rabbis allowed it in a place of financial loss. That phrase itself is difficult. Isur the Oraita and Shara the Rabbanan, but that's something we discussed in the opening shiur. Now, that means that they're reading the Mishnah in very different ways. The way that Rav Shesha Bered Ravidi is reading the Mishnah is that two things happened. First of all, a week or 5 days or so before the Moed, you were starting to press your olives, and then suddenly you found out that a relative died. Couldn't do the work, because on Avelut you're not allowed to do it, and came Chol HaMoed, and you stood a great, to stand, you, to suffer great financial loss, the loss of all the olives, therefore we allow you to do part or whole. According to Rav Ashi, it's a parallel case, meaning either you overturn your olives, and then suddenly you're an avel. So during avelut, we allow you to do this to prevent financial loss. Or if there was some other onus, or you were tricked by your workers, and you would overturn them, and that was Chol HaMoed, which means kal v'chomer on avelut, you're allowed to do it, because d'rabanan. However, Tanya kavatenu Rav Shesha Bered Ravidi, we have a bright that supports Rav Shesha. Elu dvarim ha'osin la'evel b'mei avlo. The following may be done on behalf of an avel. Zeitava fuchin, if his olives are turned around, as in our Mishnah, to'aninlo, then we are allowed to press them. Chadol aguf, or any of these kind of works, like finishing off firing a barrel, a pot, or he's got some flax that's sitting and soaking and has to be taken out. Any of these things we may do on his behalf. If we don't, there'll be great financial loss. Simro la'alot min ha'yorar, to take his wool out of the dying vat. U'marbitzim sadeh u'mishtagia onat ha'mayim shelo, and if he has a field that needs to be watered, we can water it. Now, that's Tanakam. Rabbi Yehuda omer af zor'im lo sadeh nir. You could even plant a furrow. Sadeh u'menet lefishtan, or a field that's going to be planted for flax. Amrulo im lo tizar makir tizar ba'afel. The Mechachamim responded and said, no, you don't plant a field for him, because it can be planted late. So it's planted a few days later, if he's an Avel, so max, at the most, a week late, it's planted. Rabbi Yehuda said you could even plant the field for him. Basically, you could do any malacha that in any way is, if it's not done, is going to cause a loss to the Avel. You could do it while he's an Avel. Now, he can't do it, but it can be done on his behalf, right? Which means that an Avel cannot press the olives, which supports Rav Shesha. Chachamim continue and say, if you don't plant flax, so if a week has passed and you have to plant something else, you plant something else. It's not a total loss. Shimon Gamliel omer zetav hafuchin ve'en sham uman elahu. Shimon Gamliel introduces us to a new circumstance, which is that let's say that his olives are turned over and ready to be pressed, and he's the only guy in town who knows how to press olives. Kadola gofu en sham uman elahu, or it's his pot that needs to be finished. Pishtanola lot min ha'mishrav, etzimrola lot min ha'yirav, en sham uman elahu. Any of the circumstances we spoke about, and he's the only guy who knows how to do those things. Harezi aseh b'tzina, he should do them. So he's allowed to do these things. B'tzina, he's allowed to do them privately so nobody sees him. Yatero ken Shimon Gamliel, he went further. Im haya uman l'rabim, if he is the expert and the only expert in town for something the public needs, the sapar uvalan the rabim, or he's the only barber, or he's the only bathhouse attendant. Vigya etar regel, and it's erev yontif. Ein sham uman elahu, and he's the only guy who knows how to do it. Harezi yaseh, then he can go do the work, even though he's an avel. He can go and do this work on behalf of others. So now this is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion, but the Tanakhama's opinion, the opinion of the Chachamim, is that an avel cannot do any of this work. It can only be done for his behalf. On his behalf by other people. Good. Now, ha'arisin v'chakirin v'kablanim. These are different kinds of sharecroppers and people who take in contract work. Ha'reilu yasu achirin bishvilan. So let's say that somebody is a sharecropper. Another way, in some sense, has an investment in the result of the work. Other people can do the work for them. Ha'chamarin ha'gamalin v'sapanin. Donkey drivers and camel drivers and ship captains. Ha'reilu lo yasu. They can't do the malacha. If they were hired out to other people, or Elu Yasu, because somebody hired a boat to go, and you're the captain of the boat, and he's got to go today, and suddenly you're an avel, why should he suffer? So you have to take it. Schir Yom, let's say that you're a day worker, a day laborer, afilu bi'ir acheret, even if you're working in another city, lo yaseh. And you don't have to work, because that's something you can easily get out of. Say, I'm not working today, you're getting paid by the day, fellow can't rely on you for tomorrow. You don't work tomorrow. Haytam alachad acherim biyado. This is still the brighter. Let's say that you had some other people's material in your house that you were working on. You're an avel. Afa pisha bikibolet lo yaseh. Even though it's kablanut, then kablanut means contract work, and if you're not getting paid by the hour, you shouldn't do it. Wait, that phrase is difficult. Afa pisha bikibolet lo yaseh and bikibolet. What, contract work is less obvious than non-contract work, knows you're getting paid by the hour. So I do have a kibolet kididei dami. If it's contract work, it's like your own thing. And certainly an avel is not allowed to do work on his own behalf. The only question in this entire braita is an avel doing work on behalf of somebody else. Somebody else entrusted him with the material, the sower, whatever it might be. So the answer is ela'ema ben kibolet ben she'ena kibolet lo yaseh. Whether or not it's contract work or not, he can't do it. Haytam alachto biyar acherim. Let's say it's now the opposite. He's got material that other people are holding for him. He's given material to somebody to sew or to saw or whatever it might be. Bivei tolo yasu. They can't do it in his house. Bivayit acher. But if it's in their own house or some other place, yasu. That's the end of the braita. What we see from this braita is that in a normal circumstance, an avel is not allowed to press his own olives, even if they were turned over beforehand. At the most, somebody else can do it for him. Then there's exceptions if he's the only guy who knows how to do it, but that's not what our Mishnah is talking about. So this seems to support Rav Shishi Brei Ravidi, who says that even though avelut is an isur drabanan, nonetheless, we don't allow. Now, one explanation for that would be because even though I am, person A is an avel, and I can't do the malacha, there's always person B who's not an avel, whereas cholamoid, it's cholamoid for everybody. And that may be the reason why it is more lenient. Good, now we have a story. Marion Bere de Ravin, Umar Bere de Rav Acha, Bere de Rava, Havilu Ahu Gamla the Torah Bahadi Hadadi. Alright, so they had a, these two Amoraim, had a pair of oxen that they owned as a team. They owned them together. Itrami Milta Marbere de Rav Acha Bere de Rava. One of the Amoraim became an Avil. Upsake the Gamla. He separated the pair. He said, my ox can't work now. Amar Ravashi, Gav Rava Kamar Bereidu Rav Acha Avir Hachi. What Ravashi was astounded. A man who's of great stature would hurt the other fellow's livelihood like that? Nehida Livsedo Dide Lochayish. He's not concerned about his own loss. Adachem Lochayish. Isn't he concerned for his partner's loss? After all, we have a brayta that says if you're hired out to someone else, then you, as an avah, have to continue working because you're not allowed to cause financial loss to the other fellow. And that's exactly what he did here. So, who saw Adam Chashuv Shani? This Amora felt that as an Adam Chashuv, as a Talmid Chacham, and as a leader of the community, he had to perhaps act in a supererogatory fashion and not let his animals be working during Chol HaMoed. Of course, during when he was an Avel. Of course, that raises the question, why wouldn't Adam Chashuv act in a way that was more neglectful, as it were, towards his partner's livelihood? All right, good. We continue on. Amar Shmu, Amakam Lekibolet. Let's say that I give work to somebody as contract work for him to do. Petochat, this is, that's nothing to do with Avelut. We're now back on the issue of Chol HaMoed on Shabbat and Yom Tov. And I give it to a non-Jew to do work. Now, Petochat Tchum Asur, if it's within Tchum Shabbat and it's my stuff, then it's Asur, because people are walking around on Shabbat, they're walking within the Tchum, they see it, and they see my work being done. Chutz LaTchum Mutar, but if it's somewhere else, then it's Mutar. This is why, for instance, I can build a building in another city and the workers can continue working on Shabbos, but they can't work on my house or on my building that's within the city limits. Amar Papa, Vafilu Chutz LaTchum Laman El Deleka Matan Mikra Valahatam. And he adds that even outside of the Tchum, it's only permissible if there's no other city nearby, a city with a Jewish population. If there is such a city, Asur, because there are other people are going to see it. And he adds, Rav Shoshai adds, that even if there isn't a city nearby, we're talking just about Shabbos and Yontif, because nobody's going to violate the Tchum. Nobody's walking there. But on Chol HaMoed, when people travel and they go back and forth, Asur. Because on Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to be doing this kind of construction work or whatever it is. You're not allowed to have anyone doing it on your behalf. And therefore, Chol HaMoed, in a sense, is more strict than Shabbos and Yontif. You can't even have it done outside the Tchum. So in a certain case, of Rav Nachman's son, Mar Zutra, and they built a gazebo for him in contract work and did it outside of the Tchum. Ikuav Safra of Huna Barchinina. So these two Moraim came. Velo alu legabe, they didn't want to go in. Evidently the sense was they didn't want to benefit from this malacha. They felt it was inappropriate. Vikirami hunami lo al begabe. And according to some versions, Mar Zutra himself was unhappy about the way it happened and didn't refuse to use this gazebo. Ay, Vamar Shmuel, Bukabla Kibola, Tochatchum Asur, Chutzatchum Mutar. Shmuel said that if the work is done outside of the Tchum, then it's Mutar. So Adam Chashuv Shani, the answer is he's the son of Rav Nachman. He has to hold a higher standard and should not benefit at all from this work that was done on Shabbat. Right? The Amri, there's another version of it, which is a Sayua Sayek Betivna Bahadayu. That Rav Mar Zutra at some point during the work actually helped them. And since he helped them, and then the rest of the work was done on Shabbat or Yom Tov, therefore he didn't want to get any benefit and felt it was inappropriate. Rav Chama Shara Lehu La'abungari Deverash Galuta L'miava Lehu Evita B'chula D'moada. So Rav Chama allowed the waiters who worked at the Resh Galuta's house, the exilarch's house, To do work on Chol HaMoed. Amar Kevan de Agar Lo Kashakli, since they don't take any salary for this. Right? In other words, they evidently work for food. Sharshu Yehu de Kama Sharshu Lei. Right? So therefore, all they get is the benefit, the Tovat Tana'ah, they feel like they're getting a favor, and they get some favorable treatment. Right? So therefore, it's not really much Malacha V'leit Lanba. Tana Rabbanan. You're allowed to receive work, material to work on, as contract work on Chol HaMoed in order to do it after the Moed. But you're not allowed to do it, to accept it, to do it on the Moed. I'm sorry, this is to give it over to a non-Jew. You can give it to a non-Jew to do, you can give it to him on Chol HaMoed to do after the Moed, but you can't give it to him to do on the Moed. Zeh HaKlal, this is the rule. Kol Osho Davar. Kol Shu Oseh Omer Lo Nochri Oseh. Anything you're allowed to do, you can have a non-Jew do. Kol Sheino Oseh Eino Omer Lo Nochri Oseh. Anything you're not allowed to do, you can't tell him to do. Tani Idach Mekavlin Kibod B'Moed Masotah Lachar Moed. We have a Brayta that says the same thing. V'an Shalom Dod V'Shalom Yishko V'Shalom Yimneke Derech Shu Oseh B'Chol. With one condition, you're not allowed to measure the stuff out, the material out, weigh it or count it out, just as you do, and then you have to do it with a small shinui. Tan Rabbonin, this is a parenthetic statement. Ein marbin behema b'chol HaShemoid. You're not allowed to mate animals together in a Chol HaMoed. Kayotzevo ein marbin b'vchor, and similarly, you're not allowed to use a b'chor, a stud, lo b'sule muktashin, or animals that have been nifsal from the mizbeach, that are now wandering, waiting to get a mum. Tani irach in marbin behema b'chol HaShemoed. Rabbi Yehuda omer chamorah shetavaa marbin aleha zachar b'shul shelo titztanen. If a she donkey suddenly has expressed an interest in being mated, then we bring the male because she's going to get sick otherwise and get cold. Sharkol v'emot machesino tam b'karotz. Rabbi Yehuda says any other animals that have expressed heat, we put them into a corral and we let them mate. We don't engineer the mating, as it were, but we allow them to do that. Tana Rabbanan, we have one parallel statement here about animal treatment on Yontif. Ein medayrin lo b'shavatot v'lo b'yamim tovim. We don't have the animals walk through to fertilize. V'lo b'chol HaShemoed. On Shabbos Yontif v'chol HaMoed. V'bal mi'alehem mutar. But if they walk in on their own and they fertilize the field, that's fine. V'ein mesayin otan. We don't direct them. V'ein mosrin lahem shomer l'na'ir atzonam. We also don't have them be shepherded. But let's say the shepherd was somebody who worked for a certain payment per week or per month or per year or for 7 years. Then we're allowed to help them. Then they can do that job. And Shabbat, he can only do it as a favor. He can work for food. He can actually get paid. And we rule indeed like Rebbe. Good. The next Mishnah, which is very much of a parallel to the first Mishnah. Let's say that a person had already pressed grapes and he had wine inside of the boar, and if he doesn't process it immediately, it's going to get lost. They're all avel onus, same thing. He suddenly became an avel or some other inadvertent thing. Oshiituhu. Or that his workers fooled him and they didn't show up on time. So leif v'gomer v'gavka d'akod, the river v'yosu. V'yosu, just like the previous mission, said you pour it out and you seal the barrels of the wine, just as normal, as usual. Rabbi Yehuda omer oselo limudim yishvel sholei achmitz. Rabbi Yehuda says that what you do is cover up the boar with some sort of boards to keep it from fermenting, and you let it wait until after Chol HaMoed. Evidently, this will keep. Now, the Gemara's first issue is, why does the Mishnah have to repeat the same rule and the same dispute between Rabbi Yosef and Yehuda in the case of oil and in the case of wine? If we only had the first dispute about the oil, where there's evidently much greater financial loss, if the olives are lost, I would think that that's where Rabbi Yosef said you could do the full job. Should the mishcha nafish pseida, because the oil is a great loss. But when it comes to wine, where evidently it's not as great of a loss, because after all, if the wine goes bad, it's still vinegar, it can still be sold. Maybe he'll agree with Rabbi Yehuda that we do a minimal protection. And then we just flip it. If we only had this mishcha about the wine, that's where Rabbi Yehuda says you do minimal. But when it comes to the first case of the oil, Ema modeh Rabbi Yossi. I would think that he agrees with Rabbi Yossi that you have to do a full job. So tzricha. That's why we need both mishnayot. Amar Yitzchak bar Abba. Man tana shinui b'moed b'davar haved. This we already had previously yesterday. Who is the Tana who says that on that you do work that's for davar haved on chol hamoed, you have to do it b'shinui? Delok Rabbi Yossi. That's not Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi, as we see in our Mishnah, says you don't have to do a shinui. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Halacha Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yosef said, indeed, that's the halacha, we don't have to do a shinui. So they asked Rav Nachman Yitzchak, can you seal a barrel of mead on Chol HaMoed? Amar lehu, Sinai Amar Lach Rav Yossi. Sinai, that's Rav Yosef. If you take a look at the end of Masechet Horiot, you'll see Rav Yosef is called Sinai. He said, Alach Rav Yossi. So that's how we roll. Alach is Rav Yossi, and therefore you don't have to do a shinui. So, Amar Amar Rabbi Yossi b'chamra. The fact that halachas Rabbi Yossi doesn't tell me what to do with mead. I know what he said about wine. B'shichra mi'amar, who said that he says it about mead, which is evidently far less of a loss. So, chamra tam amay mishum d'nafish pseida. Why does he allow it when it comes to wine? Because the great loss if you can't seal it up in the barrel. Shichra nami ipa pseida. Mead also has a loss. Not as great of a loss, but a loss. Damar Abaye, what did Abaye say? Amrali aim. Abaye, if you recall, was a double orphan. His the Gemara in Kedushin says that when he was conceived, his father died, and then when he was born, his mother died. And so he was raised by a nanny. So he quotes his nanny quite often. Amrali aim. What did she say to him? Bar sheet save v'shaya, mi bar tamni v'lo shaya. All right. It's better to have six se'ah. Is better than to have eight se'ah. Of wine, of mead that is not sealed. In other words, to have something in a barrel that's sealed, even if it's less, the quantity is less, it's far better than greater quantity if it's not sealed. So sealing the barrel evidently really preserves the value, and therefore there's a loss involved if we don't do it. Good. Rachamar Goyam Arav. Hilchot Moed ki Hilchot Kutim Bahalacha. Kutim, parenthetically, are associated perhaps with the present-day Samaritans. The Kutim who were, take a look at Malachim Bet, Perak Yud Zayin, the nation that was transferred by Sancheriv to the area around around Shomron in the 8th century BCE, and they came in and they quasi-converted, and through the Mishnaic period, they were maybe Jews, unclear what their status was. Take a look, if you're interested, in the Rambam Perish HaMishnayot in the 8th Perak of Masechet Brachot, at the end of the parak, discusses what happened to the Kutim. So the laws of Kutim are very, not arbitrary, but seemingly random. So we see, L'may Yochata'am Rav Daniel Bar Katina Marav L'mar She'in Akurot En L'modot Zumizu. In other words, you can't analogize from one halacha to the next, because the Kutim, the way that they practiced is certain halachot, the Gemara Pesachim says, certain halachot that they were careful about, they were super careful about, but other things they were very lax about. And therefore, you cannot analogize from the way we deal with them in one area to the way we deal with them in another area. However, when it comes to, and so the same thing as with Chol HaMoed, it's seemingly arbitrary. We have a De'amar Shmuel. What's an example? Zoftin kuzda ve'en zoftin chavita. We're allowed to seal up a jug, but not a barrel. That's one halacha. We have a different halacha, zoftin chavita and zoftin kusta. So you can be able to seal a barrel and not a small barrel, small jug. And why is that? So marchayish lipseida. Rav Dimi is concerned about hefseid, and therefore he says that you could seal up. Sorry, kusta is a larger barrel. Chavit. He says you're allowed to seal up a barrel because there the loss is great. Marchai is the tircha. Shmuel is concerned about too much tircha. Sealing a large barrel is much more work. So therefore, he says, therefore, you could seal a small barrel or jug. Good. So you see that it's somewhat not arbitrary, but there are different considerations, and you can't really apply one to the other. Rabbi Nektina, Hilchot Moed Kilchot Shabbat. We have another ruling, which is the laws of Chol HaMoed are similar to Hilchot Shabbat. How's that? Yeshmen patur wal asur, yeshmen mutar lechatchila. Meaning that some of the things on Chol HaMoed are patur valasur, meaning you're not allowed to do them, but if you do them, you're exempt. And some of them are mutar. Of course, none of them are chayav, because you're never chayav for doing melacha on Chol HaMoed. Good, now we have a couple of stories. Rav Huna, chatzdu lechatzde b'moada. His workers harvested, they reaped for him on Chol HaMoed. And he was okay with that. Eitave Rabba Bar Avuna the Ravuna. So his son challenged him and said, "Tochanin kemach b'moy the tzorach hamoy. You're allowed to mill wheat on Chol HaMoed if you need it for the moed. You want to make bread. V'shelo tzorach hamoed asur. But if it's not for the moed, then it's asur. And the assumption was that they had harvested wheat that he was not going to use till afterwards." Right, something that's going to financial loss, you can do, but if not, not. And all of this is only things that are already out of the ground. But it's still mechubar lekarka, it's still in the ground. Even if you're going to lose everything, you're not allowed to do it. So according to that brayta, you're not allowed to harvest anything on Chol HaMoed at all, no matter how much loss it's going to involve. Right? But if you have nothing to eat, then kotzer, you can reap, umeamer, vidash, vizore, uvore, vitochain, do all the process of threshing and of milling. The only thing is you can't thresh using animals. So now, that's the brayta. And his son challenged him and said, how come your workers harvested your wheat for you? After all, we saw that, and the assumption was that Ravuna had what to eat otherwise. Marla Yechidahi says that bright is authored by a marginal single opinion. We'll find out it's Rabbi Yossi. And we don't hold like that. The Tanya. Mishum Rabbi Yossi. It's in the name of Rabbi Yossi. Davara Talush Minakarka Afilu Mitzato Avud Mutar. Something that's out of the ground, even if only part of it will be a financial loss, you could do the entire work with it. But it's in the ground. Afilu Kulo Avud Asur. Even if it's going to be a total financial loss, you're not allowed to do it. That's Rabbi Yossi. So now, remember, Rabbi Yossi was of the opinion that davar ha'aved you're allowed to do without any shinui. V'i Rabbi Yossi yadushnam parot, right? Then why does the Tan of that brayta that you're saying is Rabbi Yossi put one stipulation, which is when you don't have anything to eat, which is davar ha'aved, and you have to eat, that you can not thresh with animals? Ha'amar v'yitzchok ba'avam antan shinui b'moed b'davar ha'aved d'lok Rabbi Yossi. So amar l'chav. Is the answer, Hachanami came into Choyom Alam Farot Daishi. You never thresh with oxen. That's a strange thing. So, Ha'ina Nami Lav Shinuihu. So, to now thresh without oxen, that's not a Shinui. That's doing it the normal way. Good. So Ravuna's answer defending why he was benefiting from the reaping on Chol HaMoed was that the prohibition of reaping, the prohibition of doing Malacha B'davar Ha'avei, because this wheat was going to go bad if it wasn't reaped now, is a prohibition of Rabbi Yossi, and we do not accept that prohibition. Tan Rabbanan, tochanin b'moed the tzorach ha'moed. So we have this brayta. You're allowed to mill on grind wheat on Chol HaMoed if you need it for Chol HaMoed. So tzorach ha'moed asur, right? And if not, if you don't need it for the moed, then it's asur. And tachan v'otir. Let's say that you need it for Chol HaMoed, and you ground, and it turned out you ground too much, and you had extra flour. Hareza mutar, you can use it afterwards. It's not that it was done prohibitively. And the same thing, kotzin etzim moed tzorach moed. You can cut down trees if you need them for Chol HaMoed. You're going to make a bonfire. Rishol tzorach moed asur, katzat tzvoter, hareza mutar. Same thing, if you cut down too much, the rest of the wood is okay. Matilin shechar moed tzorach moed. You can put mead in to ferment on Chol HaMoed if you're going to drink it on moed. Rishol tzorach moed asur, mitzil vahotir, hareza mutar. Same deal. Is that if you put in too much and left it over, that's mutar if there was extra. Van shelo yarim, the condition of all of these things is you can't play a trick. You can't say, oh, I think I'm going to need a ton of wood and cut it all down and say, oh, I didn't really need all that wood, and I have all this left over. You can't plant it. Is it true you can't plant it? Aminu matzilin shechar moed letzorach moed v'shelo letzorach moed asur, chad shechar tmei v'chad shechar se'orim. You can put mead in, whether it's date mead or barley mead. And by the way, even if you have mead sitting around, you're allowed to say, oh, I didn't know I had mead, and put in new stuff, and then say, oh, I did have mead, and therefore you got left over. In other words, you can play the trick of ha'arama. So the answer is tanoihi. The tanya, ein marim min b'chach, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda omer marimin. We see a machloka tanaim, whether you're allowed to use this sort of deception in order to have extra stuff that is now left over. Good. Now another story. Rav Huna's Rebbe. Rav chatzdu lechatzdu b'chula d'moada. They reaped on his behalf on Chol HaMoed. Shama Shmuel ikpad. Shmuel heard about this and he got upset. So lema Shmuel ki yechido asir le what Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yossi, and he says that any work in mechubar lekarka is asir. Lo, chatzar dechiti have, the lave pasid. You know what it was? It was wheat that was not going to be lost on Chol HaMoed. This was wheat that was could have lasted another week. Not a problem. Rav my time, Avrachi. If that's the case, and it's not Davar Aved, so why did Rav have his workers cut it down? The answer is, Ein lo mayochal havi. This is a situation where Rav had nothing else to eat. That doesn't necessarily mean he was poor, but there was nothing, no other bread in the house. He needed the wheat. So why did Shmuel then get upset? Shmuel lo simu lo kameh. Shmuel didn't hear the whole story. He didn't get the full information that Rav needed the food. Inami adam chashuv shani, or Shmuel held, in the case of an adam chashuv, like Rav, an important person, he really should have a higher standard and not do the work. So now we have another story that really the only association with it, with the previous one, is about an important person doing something which was a little bit suspect. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya went out on Shabbat wearing a ring that had a signet in it, Chumrata de Medusha, and he also drank water that his non-Jewish servant had heated up for him, not on Shabbos. Shama Rabbi Ami ve'ikpid. Rabbi Ami heard about this and he was upset. So Rabbi Yosef said, "My Tama ikpid, why were you upset? Why was he upset? Imishum chumrata de medusha. If he was upset because he was wearing the ring, in other words, on Shabbos, and this is a whole sugya in Bameisha about what things you're allowed to wear where there's no eruv. Hatanya shirinan zamin ratavoto and kuchola kelim and intelim b'chatzer. That all of this kind of jewelry is kelim mutarim. There's no problem of isur tiltul, what we commonly call muktzah." So what is their problem? If it's because he drank water that was heated up by the non-Jewish servant, which may be a violation of what we refer to as bishul nochrim, food cooked by a non-Jew. Rav said, anything that can be eaten raw, if a goy cooks it, it's not bishul nochrim. And therefore, since water is drunk as is, if you heat it up, that's not bishul nochrim. Right? We all drink coffee from water that was heated up by non-Jews. Certainly not a problem. And therefore, why was Rav Ami upset when he heard that the Rav Yehuda Nasiya, was the grandson of Rav Yehuda Nasi, had done this? The answer was, Adam Chashuv Shani. He was an important person. He should hold himself to a higher standard. Rav Chanan al Marav, Kotzet Adam Dekel Bamoei, Avabisha Inot Tzarich Elo L'Nesorot Shalom. You're allowed to cut down a tree on Chol HaMoed, even though all you need is the sawdust. Layat al Abaye. Abaye cursed anybody who would do that. Rav Ashi Havele Abam Bishlanaya. Right, so Rav Ashi had a particular kind of a tree he had a forest, like a grove of trees, in a place called Shalnaya. Azal Mikse Bechor Moade went to cut down some of the wood on Chol HaMoed. Amar Rav Shila Mishlanai Rav Ashi. Ma Datech. So he asked him, why are you doing this? The Kamar of Hanan Rav Kosetanam Dekam Moed of Bishan Tzarichel and Sword Shalom said you're allowed to cut down a tree even though all you need is the sawdust, or that you're allowed to do the malacha for whatever reason. Halayat Allah Abaya, by a curse that. Amarle Lo Shmiole. So Rav Ashi said, I didn't hear this. What is it I didn't hear this mean? I don't hold from Abaye's caveat. So what happened when he was cutting down the tree on Chol HaMoed? The metal, the axe part of the axe slipped out of Rashi's hand and it was about to cut off his leg. It was flying towards his leg. Right? He walked away. He dropped the haft. Right, and he came back after Chol HaMoed because he understood that what had happened here was clearly because he was doing the wrong thing. Right, Shavke v'Hadarata. Rav Yehuda Shara l'Miakar Kitana. Rav Yehuda said you're allowed to uproot flax l'Miktal Kshuta, and to cut certain kishut, a certain kind of plant l'Miakar Shumshimi. And to uproot sesames. Amarleya by the Rav Yosef. So Abaye asked Rav Yosef as follows. Bishlama Kitana, I understand what the possible permissible use on Chol HaMoed of the flax is. Chazeh the Chafifa. You could use that on Chol HaMoed to cover things up. Okay, you got a pot, you can cover it up with some flax. Kshuta, chazeh the Shichra. Kshuta you could throw into the mead that you're making. Shum Shumi the Mai Chazeh, what are the sesames for? Chazal nazie de itbo, because of the oil that's inside of them. Right, after you squeeze out the oil, there's something that's usable. Rabbi Yana havilei ahu pardesa demata zine b'chula demuado. Rabbi Yana had an orchard that the time for reaping was happened to come on Chol HaMoed. Tafe, he went and harvested it. L'shanasha yu'a kule amal pardesayu l'chula demuado. So everybody else saw this, and they waited until Chol HaMoed, when they weren't working anyways, in order to harvest. What did he do? Afker Rabbi Yana the pardesayu shata. So that year, Rabbi Yana was mafkir, disowned his pardes, and gave it to everybody. He felt so bad that his actions of the previous year had led to this very gross chilul hamoed. Tov, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, tomorrow we are going to, oddly enough, finish the parak, which ends on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Bet, and then Im Yirtzeh Hashem next week begin the third and final parak of Masechet Moed Katan. Everyone should have a wonderful day.